Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, when you're a parent, you can do everything right and it doesn't matter. Have you figured that out yet? I think that my parents were awesome people. Of course, I thought that many years hence, not at the time. And I thought they were perfect parents, but if you looked from the outside looking in, you wouldn't have said that because I had three brothers. And the three brothers were hooligans. And my mother said she knew that she was a success, not because they had great jobs, but because when they were teenagers, she kept them out of prison. She thought that that was success. In fact, every boy that reached age 17 and came and announced to the parents, "I'm dropping out of high school," were met with, "Then you're signing up for the military." And she signed all three boys into the military. It was a very frustrating job. Sometimes you can do everything right. And you can try to look at your life and make really good choices, and they still end up badly. And that's what we see with Naomi today. She and her husband made what they thought were very reasonable, good choices for them and their family. They were living at a time of political chaos. When it says the time of the judges, that was not a good time in Israel's life. Because at the end of the book of Judges, the person who wrote it wrote these words: "It was before the kings ruled the lands and everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Well, that can lead to chaos. It was not a good time in Israel. And at the time that they were raising their family, there happened to be a famine. So they decided to emigrate to another land. Now, this was very difficult because this other land did not share their culture, did not share their values, did not share their religious life. But they figured that it would be better to look at their fortune in another place where there was plenty of food and plenty of work. We think of people who emigrate to different lands today with the same understanding. They're trying to find a better life. And so they left for this land of Moab. Now, it was not overseas. It was only about 30 miles away. But think about 30 miles when you have no roads and no transportation. And although it would seem close to us, it was far flung for them, especially in their culture. But they went to the land of Moab. And in the land of Moab, Naomi lost her husband. He died there. She had two boys, and the boys found lovely Moabite wives. Now, in that culture, when somebody would come into the family, a wife would come into the family, she would literally come into that family. She would have to leave her parents' home and have to live with not only her husband, but his family. So it didn't matter if Naomi was nice to her daughters-in-law or not. In this day and age, if you're not nice to the daughter-in-laws, you could have a problem. That day and age, it didn't matter because the young women were to serve in that household. But Naomi must have been a wonderful mother-in-law, because when these two young men married their sweethearts, soon afterwards, they died, and they did not have any children. So Naomi was left not only a widow, but her two boys were gone. Can't imagine the grief of that mother. And she had these two young women who, instead of abandoning her and going back to their own families, they stuck with her. She must have been quite a marvelous mother-in-law. Somebody that they truly loved. And she decided that life was so difficult in Moab now, without a husband, without sons, without grandchildren, that there was nothing keeping her there. She was going to go back to her home in Israel. The daughters-in-law loved her so much, they said, "We'll go with you." And as they journeyed with her, she begged them not to do this. It was not only for their own good, it was for her own good. Because if she came back alone as a widow, there were family members there in Bethlehem who would take her in. But if she came back with a foreign daughter-in-law, it could be problematic. They might not be so open-handed knowing that she was coming back with a foreigner. So she begged them. She said, "Stay. There's nothing for you in that place." And Orpah listened to reason and left, but Ruth grabbed a hold of her mother-in-law and said, "I am not leaving you." And we have that famous passage, "Do not prevent me from going with you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." We say that at weddings a lot, and I've often been tempted to say to the bride who wants this passage read, "You ought to be saying that to your mother-in-law, your potential mother-in-law. Be careful what you say. It's not to a husband. It's to the mother-in-law." But Ruth clung to her, and so they come to town, and people are so stirred up. They see Naomi. They said, "Is that Naomi?" And she said, "Don't call me Naomi, because Naomi means pleasant." She said, "Call me Mara, because Mara means bitterness." And I want you to hear what she says about God. "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me pleasant when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" And my first point is that when you try your best and life turns against you, that it is not rude to take God on. Because if anyone can handle our anger, if anyone can handle our imprecations, it's God Almighty. But we've been raised that we can't do that. We've got to be good Christian people and kind, and we don't want to question God or say anything bad about God. But a real relationship with God means that God knows all of our emotions. And even when we're angry and in despair, that's the time that we need to take God on and take him seriously. And that's what Naomi does. She doesn't abandon her faith in God, but she says, "You know, I have a bone to pick with God." And she says it out loud for everybody to hear. And you'll notice in the book that she is not condemned for that. God does not condemn. We're on a study of the book of Job. And we talked about the first couple of chapters of Job where Job says, "Oh, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then in the next chapter, he starts cursing and saying very bad things about God. And God does not condemn him. It's okay to take God on. God can handle our despair. He can handle our anger. He can handle it all. The worst thing we can do is be quiet and simmer and abandon God. God will take us through our anger with him. And so she gives these imprecations. But there's another thing that Naomi does, which is very important. She takes care of her daughter-in-law. Here's a woman, a young woman, without a dowry, without a husband, who's foreign, And she was the one who sent her out to find places to work that she thought would be safe for her daughter-in-law. She's the one who concocted the scheme to get a man named Boaz to turn his head and look at Ruth. And she's the one who engineered Ruth's life. Even with all her bitterness, she took care of that young woman the best she knew how. And that's another lesson we learn in life, is that when we're bitter and when we're in despair, that doesn't let us off the hook. We still have to take care of the people that God has given us. And in that, he will give us meaning and purpose. And the third thing I learned about this was the very person that she thought might be a burden to her became a blessing. Sometimes when life has turned on us, we don't see the people around us that God has amassed to give us hope and to give us joy. At the very end of the book of Ruth, something wondrous happens. Ruth gets married. She has a baby, and instead of handing the baby off to Dad, the proud papa, they hand the baby to Naomi and say, a baby has been born to Naomi. But it wasn't just for Naomi, because that baby was the ancestor to the great King David, and that baby was the ancestor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, when we have a rough life and all we can see is the horror and the difficulty that we're going through, we have no idea in the grand scheme of things how things are going to work out. So when you're in that position, I have three things to say. One, it's okay to let God have it. He loves you and he's willing to listen to your cries and your anguish. Number two, still look out for the people that God has given you. And then look for the people that God's put in your path to bless you. They are there. And God loves you and will not leave you alone in that despair. Let us pray. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord, I ask that you would be with all of those in our congregation today who have had bitter disappointment, that you would grant to them your peace and your joy. I ask for all of those who are looking and wondering about how life will be, that they might know that their lives are always in your hands. And I ask that you would bless us and keep us in your grace and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.